And as we continue our time here at the Cattle Industry Convention in Nashville, Tennessee, let's talk with the folks at Certified Angus Beef, Director of Supply Management and Analysis for CAB. Paul Dykstra is with us here today. Paul, it's great to see you, sir. How are you?
Great, Jesse. Good to be here with you.
Let's talk about this cattle market, and obviously we know what 2025 brought us, and a lot of good things, I think, for, you know, markets-wise, market sentiment for folks, but talk about, from your perspective, what surprises were thrown at the cattle market in 2025 and really just the rest of the beef supply chain in general.
Well, there are really two stories in 2025, I think, Jesse. First of all, you know, the big picture for the summation of the year is that, you know, prices not only met but exceeded, from a cattle perspective, what market participants would have predicted for the year. But when we break it down, obviously, from a month-to-month and quarter-to-quarter scenario, it was kind of tumultuous, you know, particularly in the fall when we had, you know, some political unrest and commentary from the top that definitely created some uncertainty, and the futures market certainly did not like that. And, of course, then you know, the announcement of the Tyson plant closure in Lexington, yep. Nebraska, and cutting production as well at Amarillo created a short-term, very negative trend for a few weeks. But impressively, but not surprisingly, the market recovered quite well into December, directly thereafter. So repaired the price scenario quite well. And, you know, cattlemen being rewarded for a very good beef demand and still, of course, a dwindling supply when it comes to a cattle headcount perspective.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of those surprises, challenges, et cetera, kind of just rolling into 2026, of course. I mean, what's your expectation? What have you already heard here on the ground this week? It, just as we look at the state of affairs, so to speak, with the cattle industry and with, you know, the premium beef markets and more, it just seems like, you know, we continue to see the market fundamentals, for instance, just really driving the bus right now, Paul.
That's true. And as we've just received our biannual cattle inventory report last yep. Friday here, that's pretty hot news. And unfortunate from a supply perspective, we did see the beef cow number slightly lower, and of course beef replacement heifers slightly higher, but in the end, kind of a disappointment from a supply scenario. But of course, from a cattleman's perspective, you know, you have to say, well, good news for those that do have product and inventory to sell. It looks like there's definitely some underpinning to the market that we can expect throughout this year, and a person could even go so far as to project it on down the line beyond that as well. Mm-hmm. Now, beef demand is really exceptional, and we just received new data from the good folks at Terrain indicating that demand in the last quarter of 25 looks like it was spiking quite a bit higher as well. And I think it's quite well known in the beef business today that the consumers are definitely extending their demand for our product. And really, that is gratifying to see, because as an industry, mm-hmm. we continue to provide them a higher quality eating experience into yep. the current time. We have to give a nod to that trend, and just great job to cattlemen for embracing that. It's now been 20 years that we've seen continued product improvement from a carcass quality, marbling, and eating experience that we're offering to the consumer.
How are producers and cattle feeders responding to some of these market dynamics that continue? In your perspective, I mean, as you've, you know, seen all this go on now for the last year plus, I mean, how are folks really responding to the ebbs and flows that we're seeing in these markets right now?
Well, I think your cow-calf producers here in the country are pretty keen to retire some debt and service some areas of their operations in the last couple of years that perhaps historically they could not have readily handled. And I think they're being quite diligent with those dollars above their break-evens and reinvesting. You know, from a cow perspective, I think we've got both sides of the coin, however, where we have had lots of ranchers and farmers that have sold those heifer calves, maybe not retained them, and I think it came through in our inventory numbers as well. that slight growth is less than what some might have anticipated in our overall heifer retention. With high prices, we expect to see stimulus to the cow-calf producer to keep replacements back. But at the same time, the reality is they've had the opportunity to turn those heifer calves into revenue and definitely been needed. Yeah. And to make some improvements, so retire debt, as I said, and they've been very diligent with their dollars.
What is your thoughts when it comes to certified Angus beef supply, considering the record tight inventories we have, when you look at the fed cattle supply and more, and just what's that outlook from CAB's perspective here as we get into 2026, Paul?
Well, the smaller head counts that we've seen come through in the fed steer and heifer harvest here domestically have definitely been challenging to us. Last year we saw that come through in the year-end numbers, kind of putting a little bit of pressure on our available volume to create sales. Mm-hmm. And that'll happen again here in 26, as we already know that we'll anticipate a smaller fed cattle harvest again. Now, there are a couple of trends, though, that are helping to underpin and provide a bright spot, and that is that carcass marbling scores on average are increasing. We've got a few things there helping push those up, and of course, genetics over a long period of time would be part of it, but record carcass weights and record high number of days on feed in the feeding sector, those are very much positive to our quality grade trends and certified Angus beef brand acceptance rates that we're seeing. So we've got to counterbalance a bit there to the upside, but we'll struggle at times through this year with enough available supply. But I think the bottom line there is that's a great problem to have when we've got consumers demanding our product to the extent that we'll have to look around to make sure we're finding it all with all of our licensed packers production. So we'll have another great sales year. And the message I think that's important to the production sector is, of course, those premiums for quality continue to grow over the number of years, even as we offer a higher volume of high quality beef as a percentage of the total to our consumers. So it's a great trend, and one that I don't anticipate changing anytime soon.
And I'm glad you mentioned that consumer demand aspect of this, because that continues to impress me, and I think a lot of folks, that folks want good quality beef on their plates, and even at maybe higher prices at the retail counter, they're not necessarily balking at that. They want good quality beef on their plate, and that really continues to underpin this entire industry and this entire cattle market right now, Paul.
That's true. And we see those demand indexes for instance, the one that caught my attention recently is the USDA Prime Demand Index is showing 20% growth year on year. Very, very strong trend for obviously a quality class of beef that is quite expensive in relation to perhaps ground beef and other lesser grade products. So it does appear that the customer, when they step forward with their beef dollar, they want it to count, and they understand the quality proposition and what they're getting into. So yeah, I say just very encouraging trend here as we see overall beef demand growth and still a good separation between the highest quality of the product offering.
Anything final you'd share or reiterate for folks today, just as we look ahead here to 2026 and what we're seeing in the industry and across the cattle markets? Anything else you'd mention for folks today, Paul?
Well, I think if anyone's questioning if there might be any shift in trends from the consumer side, which might be the area of the most question to a cattle producer, I don't see that necessarily happening. And again, encouraged to see that even just for your 80% ground beef price, that in real dollars is advancing into the latest data through the end of 25. And in relation to pork and poultry, the prices for those items are stagnating. So again, it's all relative to volume of sales, of course, to truly see what demand might be. But it's pretty glaringly obvious that consumers are enjoying our product, and we'll continue to demand it in the near term.
CertifiedAngusBeef.com for more good thoughts as always. Director of Supply Management Analysis for Certified Angus Beef, Paul Dykstra. Thanks for joining us here at the Cattle Industry Convention. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much for the time, Jesse. Appreciate it.